Church, I believe the Lord's calling us to something. In fact, I don't just believe it. I think it's evident that the Lord is calling us to something. Thank you, praise team. If you would cut those hands off. Cut those hands off. And I believe the Lord is calling us into something this morning, and it's very evident, and God's moving and working. And I'll be right now, Miss Lizzie and Sandra at the back of the church, and if you'd like to go to Children's Church, they're there to, if you're between ages 4 and 11, just meet them at the back door, and they'll take you on to Children's Church. But I want to be very transparent with you this morning. Last night, I stayed up rather late. I had finished my message. I had completed the message for this morning. But I told Sarah, I said, I got the message, and I feel like it's the message the Lord gave me. I said, but it's weird because the message is not burning in me, but yet the message is about burning. And then for the lead-in, because I take it very serious bringing the Word of God to you, the congregation, every morning. And they're going to go ahead and bring up my PowerPoint, guys. But as we come into our gatherings, it's always important to me that I bring you what I think the Lord would have you to hear on any given service, whether it's a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. And but last night I was just really questioning in myself, Lord, is this the word that needs to come forth? Is this what you would have? And I think this morning that if for no other reason, and I know there's a lot of other reasons, because that's every one of you that are sitting in this room this morning, or maybe you're watching by Facebook Live, or you're listening by EV Radio, but whatever the case may be, it's because of you. But if no other reason, if it wasn't because of you, the Lord's brought me confirmation this morning of the word that He's given me for this day in July. So if you've got your scriptures with you, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. And as we go to the Gospel of Luke, and let me say thank you, praise team. Awesome job. A lot of the praise team are away vacationing this weekend, but thank you. Great job. And I appreciate you worshiping this morning, congregation. But as we go to Luke chapter 24, I want you to take your attention down to verses 30 and 32, verse 30 through 32 actually. And the scripture says, when he was at the table with them, he being Jesus at the table with his disciples, and we think about this later on the road to the Emmaus. But when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open. The disciples' eyes were open. Their eyes were open and they recognized him, and they disappeared. And he disappeared from their sight. And in verse 32, they begin to ask each other. They begin to talk among themselves. But they ask the question of one another. In particular, here is a guy named Cleopas, or some people pronounce it Cleopas. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And I want to focus on that verse 32. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Because leading up to this point, Jesus had walked down the road to Emmaus, and he had begun to unfold scripture. He had begun, and quite frankly, they did not recognize in that moment quite who Jesus was. So I want to preach to you this morning for a few minutes, hearts on fire. Hearts on fire. And we start this journey of hearts on fire with an Emmaus journey. On this Emmaus journey, I want you to know their destination. Their destination being was as it was on this road to Emmaus was a place of warmth, if you look for the definition of it. Emmaus was a place that was noted for warm baths. It was a place where people went to find comfort. It was a place that people went to find refreshing. And this encounter that these men had with Jesus was less than comprehensible, if you would. It was more than the mind could grasp. And on this journey, Jesus disclosed Himself to these people, to these men. I have news for you this morning. If you haven't already realized it in this service, this very service that we're setting in, Jesus wants to take us on a journey this morning. And He wants to take us into a place of comfort. And He wants to reveal Himself to us in ways that maybe you've never experienced Him before. He wants to disclose Himself to you and to me in ways that we, and you say, man, pastor, I've been saved for 30 years, I've been saved for 40, I've been saved for 50 years, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit for longer than you are old. You're not going to tell me nothing, but I believe there are places in Christ that none of us in this room has ever been before. And He's calling us into those places. He's calling us into that place of warmth and comfort that we've never been. But as He takes us on this journey, what we need to do is catch the burn. Now, I'm not talking about Bernie Sanders. I'm talking about the B-U-R-N. He's calling us. The burn is the fire, or if you would, it's the revelation. I think back, and I'm going to condense this because of time this morning, but I think back into the Scripture when Simon had that encounter with Jesus, and he begins to question Peter on certain things, the same Peter that failed him, the same Peter, yes, that got out of the boat, but yes, he also began to sink. That same Peter, Jesus began to ask him, But who do you say I am? And Peter says, I say that you are the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One. And Peter, and he says, because of this revelation that you have, I'm not going to call you Simon anymore, but I am going to call you Peter, Petra, the rock. Not that Peter himself was the rock. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church. The rock was not Peter in himself, but the rock is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the Spirit of God sent into the world for a lost and dying people. And that same Jesus is the same Jesus that is Lord of all today. That same Jesus is the Jesus that works through the presence and the person of the Holy Ghost. That same Jesus is the Jesus that is here moving and working in our midst today. You see, it was an inner burning that happened in Peter. It was an inner burning that happened with Cleopas and his friend as they walked this road to Emmaus. It was a burning. It was an inner burning that came through the Scripture. Has Jesus revealed Scripture and fulfilled Scripture in their face, right in their presence? Jesus was filled. And even though they didn't realize it, it brought him to that question that he asked of his friend. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the Scripture to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Listen to me. The Word of God will bring your heart to a blaze. The Word of God will bring your heart on fire. The Word of God will burn within you and it will burn within me. The Word of God will bring a burning within us. Why? Because the Word of God is the revealing of the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am Word that became flesh. The Word of God will come forth. And then they had that personal encounter. They didn't comprehend it at the moment, but they had that personal encounter with Jesus. They physically walked with Jesus. They physically talked with Jesus. They physically took step in step, stride by stride. They physically, I could even see them at moments when it came to an intense moment when Jesus was disclosing the scripture to them. I can even see moments. You know, sometimes we want to run with Jesus. Sometimes we want to talk with Jesus, but I can see in my imagination on this road to Emmaus, I can see at times that they even pause on this walk with Jesus. And even I can see Cleopas even turning and looking at Jesus and saying, could you say that just one more time for me? Could you share that just one more time? Can you help me understand this? Let me tell you this. The Word of God will bring us to revelation. But the Word of God, when coupled with the working of the Holy Spirit, brings the revelation to life. Did you hear me? When the Holy Spirit sweeps through a place and sweeps through life like He did in this very room this morning, suddenly the Scriptures come to life. Suddenly the Word will begin to burn in our lives. And listen, we all know, whenever we see something burning, if it's fire, if it's a brush fire out in the field, if it's an unfortunate house fire, if it's a candle burning, if it's a light bulb like in these light fixtures in this room this morning, we know anytime something is burning, we know anytime that something is ablaze, it is a display of energy that is being released. And I want you to know this morning, there is an energy in Jesus Christ. There is a work of the Holy Spirit that is desiring to be released in your life and my life. He is no respecter of person, and it's a fire that will burn in you. And for Cleopas, that fire was a fire that brought glory to the Father. It was brought glory to God the Father. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, and in you this morning, in me this morning, in everyone watching, everyone listening, there is a fire to be ignited in our lives. And it's a fire of passion. It's a fire of passion. A fire of passion. You see, I wanted to note this. I'm patenting this, okay? I'm putting copyrights on it. But the Holy Spirit spoke this into my spirit the other day as I was working on this message. And He spoke so vividly and so plainly to me that a fire that is fueled by the Holy Spirit will ignite us without consuming us. You know, there's a lot of things. Have you ever been used by somebody? Have you felt used up by your employer? Have you felt used up by some of your so-called friends? Have you ever felt used up by maybe your kids? You know, sometimes they only call, you know, when we're needing a little sign. Have you ever feel disused up? Maybe you felt used up by your pastor. I don't know. But have you ever just really feel, have you ever really feel like you've just been used up? Well, I want you to know, Jesus will ignite you. He will work through the working of the Holy Spirit, and He will ignite you. He's the same one that lit a bush up on the backside of the desert for Moses, and that bush burned, and He spoke out of that bush, but that bush was not consumed. When the fire went out, the bush was still intact. Listen, and your fire is not going to go out. Your fire is going to burn. My fire is going to burn. But we never have to worry about God using us up, consuming us, kicking us out, throwing us to the side, saying, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm over, it's over with, and I'm done. Because the eternal fire of God that burns inside us is also a rejuvenating fire. It burns and it doesn't consume, but it's energy that energizes us that we may bring glory to God. And the effect of the fire on Cleopas and his traveling companion, listen to what happened to them. Number one, it opened their eyes to who Jesus was. Now, I believe there's a lot of people that are Christians, and you know, this is my opinion, okay? And you got the right to disagree with my opinion. Doesn't mean you're right. No, I'm dispensing with you. I believe there's a lot of people that are saved that have not really grasped hold of a full revelation of who Jesus is. I believe there's people that are saved, but they haven't grasped hold of the full revelation who Jesus is. That's why sometimes they struggle with, and somebody, you say, are you saved? And they say, well, I hope I'm saved. And really, when we grab hold to that full revelation who Jesus is, it's more than I hope I'm saved. When we grab hold of the revelation who Jesus is, and it's more than, well, I hope Jesus can heal me. It's I know Jesus can heal me. When we begin to grab hold, and Cleopas grabbed hold of the revelation of who Jesus, it opened their eyes to Jesus because they did not know who Jesus was up until this point. And when he began to break bread with them, somebody say, break some bread. When we begin to break bread, when we begin to have, break bread means, and I preached on this Wednesday night, for those of you who weren't here, you need to come on Wednesday night, by the way. Wednesday night, as I preached the final parts of Acts chapter 4, and Jesus, we find Jesus has a principle of communion. Some churches do communion every week. Some churches do it, once a month. Some churches, once a quarter, and communion is something that should be observed and considered in every church. And we'll take Holy Communion, we think about a wafer or a little piece of bread or something, and we'll think about a little cup of juice, and we'll think about and we'll give consideration to that, but what it means us coming in, represents us coming in communion with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we are in communion, yes, listen, some of y'all live in subdivisions, I know that. Some of y'all live in subdivisions, but you're not a bit more part of your community than anything in the world. You live there, but nobody knows who you are. And you don't know who anybody else is. Some of you live right here. Listen, I don't even live in Blue Well, but I'm better known than some of y'all in Blue Well. Yeah, because we're not in community. But we do the same thing with Jesus. Sometimes with Jesus, we find ourselves, we're like there, we've got a connection, but we're not really in community. You see, it's when Cleopas and his friend, it's when they sat down and they begin to break bread with Jesus that they actually came into community with him. Communion, get it? They came into communion with him, and then they discovered and realized the reality of who Jesus is. The revelation came over their life of who Jesus is. When we come into community with Jesus Christ and receive the revelation of not only who Jesus is, but what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do, then we will see some remarkable things happen, and a fire of passion will be ignited inside of us. So they walked with him and they talked with him. And then they begin to follow the burn. That bush in the desert wasn't consumed. It didn't burn eternal. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been up to Arlington in Washington, D.C. It's an amazing place if you've never been there. And there's the grave of former President John F. Kennedy. And on the grave of John F. Kennedy, there's a flame that burns all the time. It's called an eternal flame. But you know what? My curiosity always gets the best of me. I had to grab somebody. And I said, okay, it's an eternal flame. But, it has to come from somewhere. Right? I said, oh, yeah, there is a natural gas line that runs to the grave of John F. Kennedy that was lit, and so it is that it's supposedly never gone out and it never will go back out. It's an eternal flame. But let me tell you something. If we run out of gas, or if the gas line would break, or something would occur, guess what would happen to the eternal flame on JFK's grave? It's going to go out because it is hooked up. It is connected, even though it's considered eternal flame, it's connected to an expendable source. But let me tell you something about the passion of Jesus Christ. It is connected to a source that can't be used up, can't be burned out, can't wear out, doesn't go out of sight or anything else. It is an eternal flame. It is an eternal fuel. And if we will begin to follow the burn will continue to burn. When seeds fall on hard ground, people sometimes they have an encounter with Jesus, but their seeds don't fall on good ground. It'll fall on hard ground. And we know the parable that the sun will come along and it'll parch the seeds, or the wind will blow it away. Superficial experiences are going to fade. But I want you to know that the fire of Jesus is more than a flash fire. It's more than a campfire on a camping trip. It's more than just a fire that's lit on some dead president's grave. It is a fire that burns inside of us that will never be extinguished, that will never go out. But we need to stir up that gift that is in us and let the eternal flame burn brighter than it ever has before. And we have to burn with passion. And we burn with passion. The church needs to be passionate once again. And I'm not talking about a building. Because whether there's a building, you know what? Many of you know, but there may be some of you here that are not aware. You know, my wife, Miss Sarah works. She's worked at Pulaski Church of God in Pulaski, Virginia. That was her home church. She was born there. You know, not literally born in the church, but that's the church she was born in. She's worked there 22 years now, and she's the administrative staff. They're very good. Good to her. They're kind to us. And it's a great church. It's a church that has a legacy, and it's a church that had a history. But coming up, it'll be 3 years coming up January. Coming up this January, 3 years ago, their church, we got a phone call. She had been homesick that day off of work. And my son's a police officer. And the phone rings about 12:30 in the morning, somewhere between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. And he said, "Hey, what's going on at Pulaski Church of God?" He said he was on patrol on his job, and he heard a call come across the state police. He said, "The church is on fire." And, you know, and I'm thinking in my mind, okay, it's probably like a heat pump unit or something like that, something going on, and maybe something right outside the church, or and it was freezing rain, it was a nasty night, so I'm thinking maybe a transformer on a pole is on fire, and she calls, she gets up out of bed sick, she calls her co-worker, the youth pastor, and she said, "Jeremy, we just got a call." She said, "Where are you at?" He said, "I'm standing in front of the church watching it burn down." And a landmark in the community. A landmark. The landmark that we got married in. The landmark that her family has done many funerals in. The landmark, it was just probably one of, if not the landmark in Pulaski, in the town of Pulaski. We went down there and we stood and we watched it. And we watched it burn and we watched metal curl and we watched wood fall in. And she, my wife, watched most of her life burn to the ground. And what was a 900-seat sanctuary ended up being nothing but ashes. But you know what? The church didn't burn. The church didn't burn. A building burned. A building that had that held so much, so many memories. A building that held so much, and it still doesn't seem real, even though they're building the new one back. And thank God for that congregation. And we're rejoicing with them that they're going to have this new facility. But let me tell you this. The church didn't burn. Because the church is us, and the true fire of the church lies within our hearts. The true fire of the church lies within our spirits, and the church must become passionate once again. And I'll say this, and I hope if any of them watching, they don't mind me saying it, but the church burning down caused the church to get on fire in Pulaski one more time. And I'm not hoping that our church burns down. And I'm not hoping that tragedy or anything else comes in your life. But sometimes, I didn't get to sit in the life group, one adult life group this morning, but I was going to talk about it. And I want to mention, sometimes the tragedies and the hardships and sometimes the trials and the difficulties in our life are what will cause the fire to burn. But we don't have to sit around and wait on tragedy. We don't have to wait on hardship. But let the passionate love of God create a fire within within us one more time. Because when the church, listen to this, when the church becomes passionate, it will press into possibilities that will bring us into victories that we can't even imagine. But we must become passionate once again. And some of us have prayed, and some have said, well, I'm praying for this, and I'm praying for that. And I talked to the youth this morning, and just shot from the hip with them. They didn't even know what that meant. But I just shot from the hip, and I talked to them about how we have to press in. We have to press in against all odds, and we have to press in against all obstacles. And when we press in, and it takes passion to keep pressing in, and we press into what looks impossible. It's more than I hope I go to heaven. It's more than I hope I get healed. It's more than I hope my husband gets saved. It's more than I hope my children get saved. It's more than I hope my wife gets saved. It's more than I hope. It has to be more than just a hope. It has to be a confident, passionate faith that drives us and drives us into impossibilities and will bring us to victory. Back in 1985, and I look around this room and I know some of you are like me, you were around in 1985. I'm not a big movie watcher. I never have been. My favorite movie of all time was Smokey and the Bandit. I still like Smokey and the Bandit. Maybe my next favorite would be Brother Where Art Thou, and some of y'all figure out why I like that. But I also like the Rocky movies. Never was a Star Wars guy. Never was a Star Trek guy. Never was into the sci-fi. I was always into the redneck, you know, and blood movies, you know. Back in 1985, there was a movie came out of Hollywood, and it was a sequel. Actually, it was number 4, and it was called Rocky IV. Rocky IV. And Rocky makes his 4th appearance, and the storyline had Balboa, an American boxer, and he was going up against a Russian guy named Ivan Drago. Drago was a ruthless Russian. He had beaten what was once Rocky's opponent, Apollo Creed. Drago had beat Creed to death. Drago was doing anything he could to be the world champion of the boxing world. Rocky challenges Drago in an attempt to avenge Apollo Creed. But in Rocky's attempt to challenge Drago, who I ask you to allow in your minds this morning, allow Drago to be a metaphor of whatever is coming against you in your life. Even Satan, if you would. As Rocky challenges Drago, it seems weird and it seems unusual because he's going to have to fight Drago in Russia. And as Rocky goes to Russia, Drago finds himself in a facility. He has training equipment. He has elliptical machines. He has motorized inclining treadmills. He even uses steroids. And the scenes flash back and forth, back and forth, back and forth of Drago working out in this state-of-the-art gym, conditioning himself, you know, doing everything. He's got all this entourage of people around him, helping him to prepare for the world title. And here Rocky is up in the mountains of Russia, living in a cabin that looks like a barn, and he's in there. He's back to his thing of jumping rope, and he's doing chin ups, and he's splitting wood with a splitting maul. He splits like who knows how many truckloads of wood, and he doesn't have a treadmill, and the scene has Rocky running down a snow covered road, and they're following him in a car, and he looks around, and all of a sudden he pours on a big head of steam, and he outruns runs the car wrecks, and Rocky runs to the top of the mountain, and the picture up on the wall behind me is a picture of Rocky as he runs. He falls down sometimes while he's running to the top of that mountain. The snow gets deep, but he makes it to the top. He makes it to the pinnacle of that mountain, and when he gets up there, he does his typical Rocky thing. Rocky enters the ring, but he enters the ring with something that Drago didn't have. Or at least he exceeded Drago in it. He entered the ring with a passion that Drago didn't have. Now, I will say this. Rocky's passion increased when Adrian showed up in Russia. And when she showed up, it made all the difference in Rocky's passion. His passion began full. You see, and it was his love, this worn out fighter, it was love for his wife. It renewed a passion in the champ. And there was a song written to fit that scene of Adrian coming on the scene. Rocky working out. Rocky climbing to the top of the mountain. And the song that was produced and put to the soundtrack of that movie was actually entitled Hearts on Fire by John Cafferty. In the long run and long story, at the end of the story, Rocky prevails over Drago. He went into the ring. Rocky took a beating like no beating he had ever taken before. But he stayed the course. And the passion that had been instilled in him was what enabled him to stay the course. Sure, the jump ropes helped. Sure, the running to the mountain helped. All busting of wood, all that helped. But underlining all of that was a passion. And it was passion that kept Rocky coming back to his feet. And it was passion that brought Rocky to the championship. It wasn't necessarily his strength. It wasn't necessarily his preparation. Understand what I'm saying to you this morning is, passion will take us places that we've never been before. Passion will bring us successes that we've never dreamed of before. Passionately serving God will refuel us when we don't think we can keep going on. Passion will drive us. You see, when our hearts become on fire for Jesus, let me tell you something. Fire is important. Fire is energy. Fire has many, many, many. There's many facets to fire. There's many things that fire is used for. Fire will purge out the dross. It will take out all the impurities. Fire will keep us warm when the world is cold. And fire will illuminate the darkness that is in front of us. When we become passionately and are passionate about the Lord and our hearts begin to burn and a fire begins to occur inside of us, it will take us into those places in Christ that we've never been before. It will illuminate the darkness. And also, it will be a defense against our enemies. I'm not a war expert by any means. Don't claim to be. But I've watched enough cowboy movies. Who can say amen to the Rifleman? Lucas McCain. I had me one. I took my Daisy apart and took a spring out of it just so it'd work like Lucas McCain. Shoot from the hip. But you know, I remember those old movies, those old cowboy movies, old scary movies and stuff. And any time, it seemed like just about any time, at least, that's a broad statement, I guess, but just about any time there was going to be an attack of the enemy, you know what happened? They built a fire. Because the fire, the presence of fire, will ward off the enemy. Did somebody hear that this morning? The presence of fire will ward off the enemy. Hearts on fire. This church that we're a part of was birthed in fire. Jesus, we saw in the scripture we took this morning, Jesus witnessed in fire because as He witnessed to Cleopas and his friend, their hearts burned inside of them. And I want you to know something. This church is coming back with Jesus in fire. This church is not destined to be on fire. This church is on fire. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, is a church that is on fire. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you on fire? Dr. Elmer Towns, down in Lynchburg, he's a professor at Liberty, if you're not aware of that, but he said Muhammad conquered with the sword. Buddha conquered with quietness. And hopes of nirvana. He said, but Christ conquers with burning hearts. Christ conquers with burning hearts. All we've got to do is burn. Don't hide your candle under some bushel. But let burning hearts that illuminate like a city set upon a hill burn out of us. You see, revival's not going to come. Sarah and I showed up here in about another, 4 months? Sarah and I showed up here 5 years ago. And I didn't bring fire with me other than, you know, my own personal experience. I didn't bring fire. The last pastor didn't bring fire. The worship leader can't bring fire. And I'm not saying that we can't be prepared, and I can't say that we shouldn't be anointed in what we're doing. I'm not saying it at all. But understand, when I'm talking about fire, I'm talking about revival. Nobody's going to bring you revival. We got a really hot shot, and I mean that with all due respect. We got a really good young preacher just up the road here in Mullins. Man, he can preach the paint off the walls and then paint it back. I don't have him someday. Nick Walker. He's just young enough. He don't know any better. Okay, he's just that way. But you know what? But he can't bring revival. Revival is going to occur in your life when your heart begins to burn. When your heart begins to burn, when my heart begins to burn, revival will come. Revival will come. Hearts on fire. Hearts on fire. Is your heart on fire this morning? I know we've already had a remarkable service. But I want to ask, Nathan, can you come back just a little bit more that show us your glory? Can you do that for me? And y'all know me, I like corporate gathering. You know, I know some people don't like holding hands. I'm not going to ask you to hold hands, but I'm going to ask as many as it will in this room right now. And I'm going to ask you, if you don't want to come up here, don't leave, because I got a couple of important things I need to share with you before we do dismiss today. But I want everybody that can and will, whether this is your first time at Voice of Praise, you know, your second time, maybe you've been here all along, maybe this is your last time at Voice of Praise. I still want you to come up, and we're going to say goodbye to our faithful.